Okay, thank you very much. Welcome to the presentation of our first quarter results for 2018. I trust that you all have copies of the presentation from the website or from the BVB website. So I'll just walk through that first, and then we'll open it up to question and answers. If you shift to page three, it starts off with just some background. You've probably seen a lot of these themes before, so I'll go through them rather quickly. You see the first, page three, is our competitive advantages. It basically breaks it down into the market-specific advantages and then our company-specific advantages. We've covered a lot of these in the past, so I think you're familiar with them. Page five. Page six goes into our overall business model. You've seen this as well. It's designed to build up to what we call affordable luxury and is designed specifically for the markets of Central and Eastern Europe where we focus. Onward, you get our mission, vision, and values. And I'll just reiterate the vision that we have and what is our goal is to become the undisputable wine champion in Central and Eastern Europe. All our decisions and our activities, our strategies are built around achieving that. Carrying on, you see the consolidator of a fragmented market is how we would achieve that. It's a theme that's been in most of our discussions and presentations. The wine market is extremely fragmented in all of the markets where we're active, and as you can see, we are working towards becoming the consolidator of that market. The next page, page nine, is some updated information. Quite interesting. We're going to pause on this for a couple of seconds. It is the market share in Romania. This is the February-March information from AC Nielsen, and we've actually seen a significant growth in our market share in Romania. The left graph on here is the overall market share for Purcari. It's up to now to 9% market share overall. From September of last year, it was 7%. So we've actually shown a good growth in overall market share. The graph on the right is the premium segment specifically, and you see Purcari is at 23% now. It was 21% in September. Ceptura is down 1%, but I'll explain that in a second. This gets us to an overall 27% market share in the premium segment, up from 26%. Now, this is actually more pronounced than it looks. As you may recall from previous discussions, the overall wine market worldwide was down from the harvest last year. A lot of wineries are increasing their prices due to wine shortages. So this is going on in Romania as well, and quite a number of wines and brands have graduated up into the premium segment. This is information we've gotten from Nielsen directly. So the overall premium segment has grown due to a lot more wines being captured in that price range now. So our market share growth is actually market share growth in a larger market than it was in September. This is actually a very strong indicator for us. We're very happy with that. Moving on a little bit, you've also seen these are some more updates. The engagement and quality of our interactions with the markets. You see our Vivino scores and Instagram sharings. These are all growing. Both of them are up from our previous presentations. Page 11, you see our EBITDA margin compared to our global peer group, number two globally. That's a theme you've seen before as well. And that's the general background with a little bit of an update. I think moving on, I'll get into a little bit more detail of our Q1 results. And if you move on to page 13, we're pretty happy with our results, as you can see. Our revenue growth was up 21%. We're happy with that. It's a little bit behind guidance, but most of this is the result of a strong sale in Q4 in December. So a lot of the sales that normally would have been in the first quarter were in the fourth quarter, and we were still able to generate 21%. which is actually still very strong. We're quite happy with that. EBITDA margin is up 36% to an overall 33% EBITDA margin, and we're extremely happy with that. Typically, EBITDA is less in quarters with lower sales. Seasonally, the first quarter is our lowest sales and tends to be the lowest EBITDA. And in this case, we actually showed very strong EBITDA growth, overcoming some hurdles that we'll get into a little bit later. And net income also up 18% to 5.9 million RON. Getting into the key operational highlights on the next page, obviously a little bit breakdown and highlights of our revenue growth. As you see, 21% year-over-year growth to 33.9 million RON. Again, the strong shipments in 4Q17 put some pressure, but we were still able to generate the 21% growth. Romania still remains the largest growth driver, is up 32% year-over-year. It's our largest market. We also continue the premiumization trend with Porcar showing good growth. Bardar, our cognac distillery, had an exceptional quarter. You'll see some of those figures a little bit later as well. Highlights of the margins. So the strong margins despite some adversities. We are up 2.3 percentage points versus the same period last year to 46% margin. This is based on premiumization. It's an improved mix of products. We've also been able to increase prices with the market in certain areas. So we've been able to improve prices as well. And this has really had a good effect. We've been able to overcome an adverse foreign exchange. We have seen some increasing sales. SG&A costs have increased this quarter. We will go into EBITDA growth to 11 million RON. That's almost 32.6% margin, which we're very happy with. We have some highlights of sales, strong results with sparkling wine. We've had extremely good results so far this year in our whites and our rosés, winning a number of awards. And based on this, we're able to maintain our guidance and outlook for the year. We're very happy with the first quarter and optimistic going forward. Looking forward, we can show you some of the market-by-market sales growth. Starting with our largest market, Romania, is 43% of sales, is up 32%. Moldova is our second market, 20% of our sales, is up 48%. So our top two markets are showing very good growth. Poland is up 16%. And then you get into some questions. So China, I want to address this right up front. China is shown as being off by 40%. There was a very large shipment in the fourth quarter that encountered some delays in the shipping and actually arrived at the very beginning of the first quarter of 2018. So we received fewer orders. They were fully stocked. We are not very happy with that. We realize that China is becoming an increasingly important market, and we're taking some steps. We're in the process right now of establishing a representative office in China with a warehouse. We have two full-time employees there already, and they're focused exclusively on interactions with our distributors and supporting our sales process. So we're going to have a much more control, much better impact on sales. And with our warehouse in China, we're going to be able to eliminate some of those distribution and delivery delays that can happen with such a distance. So this is something, like I said, we're not very happy with that. We weren't happy with the delay in shipping, but we are taking some strong steps on that. And moving onward, so Czech Republic and Slovakia. Czech is actually quite strong. We did have a problem with one distributor in Slovakia, but that is resolved. We've also secured all of the receivables from that distributor that had some financial problems, and the distributor has been replaced. So it was a short temporary hiccup, but been resolved. Ukraine, actually that minus 25% for Ukraine is a little deceptive. We actually had a very large shipment that was in the very beginning of the second quarter. So we should see some good results for Ukraine in the second quarter. And the rest of the world is a small percentage of the sales, but it's showing quite good growth. Moving onward, you can see it brand by brand. So Porcar is up 14%. Bostavan is up only 3%. As we've said in past presentations, we're de-emphasizing Bostavan and the economy segment. Moving down, you see Kramacheptor in Romania, 31%. We're very happy with that. And as I mentioned, Bardar. Bardar had an exceptional quarter. They were up over 100% year over year. That's good news. It's still only 14% of sales, but those are very good margins. So 108% growth on Bardar is something to be very happy about. And then you see our P&L highlights on the next page, page 17. Walk through this. Revenue, as you know, up 21%, with cost of sales up only 16%, which is the improvement in mix and the better pricing that we've been able to get. It yields a much better gross profit, gross margin percentage up to 46%. That's really important. I think that's it helps us overcome the foreign exchange weaknesses that we've been experiencing, and is really contributes to the very successful quarter that we had. Further down, as we mentioned, we had some increases in SG&A. As you see, marketing and sales was up 54%. These are some retro bonuses from retail chains that came in. It's related to much higher sales. These are basically re-invoiced back to us from retailers when we have sales increases. We also have some additional SG&A expenses in there, primarily in Romania from additional listings. Those are essentially investments in future sales. So as we add additional products, additional SKUs or brands to the shelf in retailers in Romania and elsewhere, we have to pay a one-time listing price. And so we've actually been increasing our presence on the shelves in a lot of the retailers in Romania, and those one-time costs are included in the SG&A. So that also contributed to the growth. General and administrative is up 42%. I want to pause here and go into this a little bit. So we're sure that there's some interest in this. This comes essentially from, there's a few inputs to this. We have seen quite an increase in legal fees. This has a lot to do with becoming a public company. We have compliance offices in Romania and in Cyprus. We're also quite active with them at the moment. So first time going through the public process, the annual general shareholders meetings, establishing a lot of our corporate governance requirements and compliance requirements. It's generated quite a lot of legal fees. That's all in the SG&A, in the general and administrative part there. We also have internally expanded our administrative team, also a lot of it with regards to being public. And those are the two main ones, right? Yeah. So those are the two things that contribute to the increase in SG&A. Let's say there's no indications that that should increase. And in fact, the legal work will probably be less in future periods. Other income and expenses, it's small, but it's actually a nice positive. So we've seen improved collections. Our reserve for bad debt was reduced, which has generated another income. We've also received subsidies from the Moldovan government for some of the investments we've made. that also goes into other income. So we've seen some nice improvements there. And that gets us to EBITDA, the $10.2 million unadjusted, $11 million adjusted, which is a 36% growth. As I said, we're very happy with that. 33% margin up from 29% last year, so a very good improvement. Net profit up 17%, and after minorities up 18%. Again, I think we're pretty happy with that, with those results, especially as you see on page 18, it shows the foreign exchange trend. As you know, a lot of our operations and activities are in Moldova. As the Moldovan lei gets stronger, the foreign exchange works against us. We're still quite happy. Moldova is still by far the lowest cost market that we could be producing in, and it's still responsible for our significant competitive advantages on costs. But this trend has had an impact. We've mentioned in the call for the year end, the preliminary 2017, that we've been taking managerial steps to offset that. I think the price improvements and the mix improvements have done exactly that in the first quarter. So we're watching it very closely, but we're also taking steps to offset it, and I think we've had a pretty good quarter in that regard. And then going on to 19, so our wines are off to a great start in 2018 with the wine competitions. They're starting to get going this year. The Challenge International de Vin, it's the largest wine competition in France, was held last month. We took 9 medals in that, by far the top in the region. Pocard took 5, Bosse de Vin took 3, and Cheptura took 1 as well. And that's really great results. We also recently got the results from the Mondial du Rosé, which is specifically for rosé, held in Cannes in France. And every wine we sent took a medal. We sent 6 wines, and we took 5 gold and 1 silver. So my strong advice to everyone on the call is, you know what your wines are for the summer. Our whites and our rosés, because they're getting an exceptional response and reception from the experts already, and we're looking forward to the rest of the competitions, because we're confident it's going to be more of the same. Moving onward, you see some of our continued signature marketing that's in the market at the moment, page 20. Again, we can go to our guidance on page 22. No changes. Organic revenue growth of 24% to 28%. We're maintaining that, still green. We were 21% in the first quarter, but the first quarter is seasonally the lowest. And I think our results are giving us very optimistic and positive trends. EBITDA margin is guidance at 33% to 36%. We generated 33% in the quarter that traditionally and seasonally has the worst EBITDA. So that's looking very comfortable, and we're maintaining that guidance. And the net income margin, 23% to 26%, 17%, but that's going to come up. We're not changing that guidance at this moment, at this time. And that's it. Again, the next one ready for the summer. We have exceptional whites and rosés, and we're looking forward to a continuation of a very good year. With that, I think we can open it up to questions and answers.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by 1 on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by 2. If you're using speaker equipment, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by 1 at this time. And one moment for the first question, please. first question comes from the line of Catalin Diaconu of Porcury Wineries. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. So I have quite a few questions. I will start from slide number 17. So we have there the SG&A. So I want to have a clear picture on the recurrent and non-recurrent part of marketing and general and admin expenses. So what were the one-offs in marketing, and what were the one-offs on general and admin in the first quarter? That would be my first question.
Okay, so the one-offs in the sales were the new listings in Romania. That's a one-time payment to add a new brand or a new bottle or a new SKU to a retail team. That came out to 0.3 million RON, and that's going to return us better sales in future periods. So that's the one-off in the sales. General and administrative, as I said, it's legal and expansion of the administrative team internally, salaries. Those are recurring, but they're not variable. So the legal fees, as I said, this is a high activity on building compliance, putting our corporate governance in place as being a public company. Those hours certainly are going to reduce in future periods. So compliance is recurring, but the volume of work is going to decline. The increase in the administrative team is also recurring, but it's not variable. So as the company grows and sales grow, that'll stay flat.
And also IPO-related expenses of 0.8 million RON.
Okay. And from our CFO, so there were IPO-related expenses as well of 0.8 million RON included in the G&A. Those are obviously non-recurring.
Okay, thank you. Could you give us some more color on the price increases which you implemented in April? On what brands and what would be the percentage? Thank you.
Well, typically, the price increases take place in March, April. So as you know, the biggest wine trade in the world is the Düsseldorf Pro Wine, and this year it took place mid March. So this is when most of the final price increases have been agreed. A number of price increases went into effect earlier in the year, mostly in Romania. So most of the increases have been in mid single digits, and after Provine, another round with mostly our export markets was implemented. Those are from mid to high single digits.
Okay, thank you. Also, another more specific question. So I saw that in Romania, in Carrefour, Carrefour is very aggressive in their shelf prices compared to all the other retailers. You see something going on with Carrefour, because it's a bit weird, their policy.
You'll appreciate we cannot elaborate too much on this, but indeed we've seen some resistance from some of the retailers on some of the price increases pushed. So I think what you referred to is that at some point we had out of stocks in some of the retailers in Romania because they did not accept initially our price increases. The relationship with the retailers is very important for us, so we ultimately found a compromise. So it was a bit of a moment of who blinks first. And I will not say who blinked. I'll just say that we are satisfied with the outcome and we found a compromise. Again, these are long-term relationships, so you always have to find them.
Understood. Could you tell us some new prospects regarding or something, some new news regarding some M&A? Are you moving along with something?
There are some things moving along, but we're not in a position to make any announcements. When something becomes concrete, there would be a current report issued, and it would be made public. But at the moment, we don't have anything that's reached a point where it's concrete enough to be discussed publicly.
Okay, understood. Also, another question related to the margins. So, when will we feel the impact of the 2017 harvest? Theoretically, or according to my logic, we should have already felt something for the lower margin brands. So, when will we feel it, for example, for the Purcari brand and for let's say the pricier Ceptura brands?
To some extent, you already see it in the numbers. So this increase in gross margins, to some extent, is also a reflection of the fact that the whites and the rosés are already made from the 2017 harvest. So in that sense, you already see it. However, I do have to qualify this comment a little bit. It doesn't help us. So we do have the benefit of a good harvest in 17, but it's to some extent offset by what you see on slide 18, which is a little bit discouraging, to be honest. So we certainly don't like this picture. And we'll reiterate again, to us, it's a puzzle why the Moldovan currency appreciates. So the trade deficit keeps growing. The current account deficit is at 6%. The inflation is higher than in other markets. So why the currency appreciates is a complete puzzle.
Okay, and this is the last question from my part. When do you expect to have that warehouse operational in China and practically to alleviate that risk with containers?
First, I want to extend this presentation.
I'm gonna have to check on the status of that process. It's a somewhat complicated process legally to set up a representative office. We have our representative there, but I'm gonna have to check on the timeframes and status and where we stand at this time. The not too distant future, but I can't be more specific at this moment.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my part.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star, then one. Again, to ask a question, please press star, then one at this time. There are no further questions at this time.
Okay, so if no further questions, you obviously have our investor relations contacts from our website. Please feel free to send in any further questions as they come to you. Beyond that, we'd like to thank everybody for your participation, and we look forward to speaking to you at the end of next quarter.